76 in your hymn book. We're thankful for that you have a blessed assurance tonight. Amen. It's good to be in church. God bless you.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation. Savior, all the day long.
let's stand and sing it. Lost in His love. Oh, this is my story. Oh, this is my song. Oh, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. I'm praising my Savior all the day long. Oh, this is my story. Oh, this is my song. Praising my Savior. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. It won't be long, oh, till we'll be. We'll be going home. Oh, it won't be long. It won't be very long till we'll be leaving. Oh, it won't be long till we'll be going. Believe that tonight. So count the years as months. Oh, count the months as weeks. And count the weeks as days. In any day now, oh, we'll be going home. Just count the months as weeks, and count the weeks as days. Any day now, we'll be going home, for we shall. Any day now, we'll be going home. Oh, we shall be like Him. Yes, we shall be like Him someday. Oh, we shall be like Him. Any day.
Sure, I'm looking forward to getting out of here. Sure, it's beautiful weather today, but nothing compared to what will be in store for us in heaven. Amen. Announcements here. Yeah, tomorrow evening, youth Bible study for ages 10 to 14. That's this Thursday, July the 25th, from 7:30 to 9:30. And then there'll be an additional youth Bible study for ages 15 to 30, single, never been married. That's on Friday night, July the 26th, from 7:30 to 9:30. And then on this Saturday evening, the church has rented a gym for our youth, ages 10 to 30, single, never been married, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Saturday, July the 27th, at the Southern Indiana Sports Center in New Albany. Brother Trevor and Brother Nathan will be having a meeting for the parents at church from 6:30 to 8:30 that Saturday evening as well. This will allow the parents plenty of time to drop off their children at the gym before the parents' meeting and pick them up again afterwards here at the gym there. The address of the gym is listed on the upcoming services calendar of the church website for anyone who needs that information. Also, any of the parents that want to come to the meeting that have children younger than the 10 years of old that can go to the gym, you can bring your children to the meeting as well. So we're looking forward to that and pray that God blesses the young people with the fellowship. Testimony here from Brother Anthony Bryant. I know a lot of people have been praying for us about my job and our housing. The Lord has helped the situations at my job to improve, and we are now living near my work in a nice townhouse. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glad to hear that. Testimony from Sister Tina Bryant as well. She was having trouble with her heart beating out of rhythm and racing also, especially at night. She went up for prayer Sunday night and told the brothers that the word said, "Let not your heart be troubled." After prayer, she was completely healed and has been resting well since. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can we give him a hand clap of praise? Amen. Praise the Lord. So happy to hear of those instant healings. And I heard of another healing like that that took place at another church on Sunday. A sister was in so much pain, she wasn't even going to go to church, but I know she was in the service praising the Lord, and the pain completely left her, and it had been so debilitating that she pretty much needed to stay home. So praise the Lord for that. As we go to prayer, please remember Brother Bart Burgess's 15-year-old son, Joe. He was in a wakeboard accident last night. He was airlifted to Norton Children's Hospital due to a skull fracture, and they did major emergency surgery. By the grace of the Lord, he is doing well. He is talking, has memory and movement of his extremities. They expect him to be in the ICU for the next 3 days, so we want to continue to remember him in prayer for a complete recovery. The lady that cuts Brother Nathan's hair requested prayer. Her doctors are running additional tests Friday on a breast tumor. And please remember Sister Estera and Sister Naomi Johnson in prayer for traveling mercies. Please remember Sister Sharon Konzelman, that's my brother Malin's mother-in-law that lives up in Canada, in prayer. She had a pacemaker battery change and developed an infection, and will have to have the pacemaker leads removed as well. I know they're going to have to fly her to another city to do all that, so we want to remember her in prayer. Please remember Sister Gloriana Emond in prayer. She has congestion and a cough. And please remember Cheryl Cote. She's not feeling well this evening. Amen. Do you have an unspoken prayer request you'd like to make known to the Lord by an uplifted hand? Amen. Brother David Eplin, would you come up and pray over the prayer requests? Amen. We serve an on-time God. Amen.
Just one more praise report before we start. I turned in a prayer request Sunday night for Levi and Brianna Dalton. Brianna's my niece, about the wildfire in Flagstaff that was approaching their house. And the Lord sent a big rainstorm, which is rare for that time of year. And so all is well. So again, we serve an on-time God. So thank you. Let us pray. Dear Lord, so glad to be able to come here again tonight, Lord, to fellowship with you and to hear your word and to be around like believers who share the faith with us, Lord. And it's encouraging to be around others and hear these testimonies, Lord. And we know that you're going to do the same for these many prayer requests that we heard, Lord. The young child that was in the accident, Lord, a serious situation, God. But we know you've got it completely in control, Lord. And we ask total deliverance for him. And for those that are traveling and those that are not feeling well, Lord, we come to you and we forcefully ask, Lord, that you please touch them. And we know, again, Lord, that you will do that. And we're so thankful for that, Lord. And God, we just ask tonight that in this service, all of us have needs, Lord, and you know what those are. We'd ask that you would address those needs for us, Lord, in a special way. Just be with the speaker, whoever it may be, Lord, and use him to say the things that we need to hear and to help us to accept and put those things into our lives, Lord. Go because we want to be a testimony to others, Lord, because we know it's time very soon to be going home, and as soon as that last one comes in, it's time to go see you, God. So help us to implement your will. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ.
God bless you. You may be seated. At this time, we have a special from Sister Chloe. It had been requested that she sing that song, I'm a Little Candle. So I pray that it blesses you tonight. Sure appreciate that, Sister Chloe. Is that your testimony? But it's definitely the light of Jesus that makes us shine. Amen. Sure appreciate that. If the brothers would please come at this time.
Oh, hallelujah, he redeemed me. Oh, I've been born again to received of Him. Oh, I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror. Oh, that's what I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Yeah.
satisfied me, and of his fullness have we all received of him. I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away, I've been born again. More than a conqueror, that's what I am. I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. Oh, hallelujah, he redeemed me. Oh, yes, I've been born again to win. Have we all received of him? Oh, I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away, I've been born again. Conqueror, that's what I am. I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. One night while on life's raging sea, oh, it looked as if I would suffer defeat. As the blackness of night closed off the light, my heart sank with fear. And my desperate cry rang out with pride. All I could with faith all but gone, I met the one who came looking for me. Oh, he came looking for me. He came looking for me. Oh, he made a way when there was no way that I could see. Satan had already picked out my grave. His plans had moved forward to put me away. I had drifted so far, would anyone care that I'd soon be lost? Oh, I knew my destruction was just a matter of time. Then Jesus, amen, this one is mine. Since he walked through my storm, he came looking for me. Let's stand and sing it. Oh, he came looking for me. He came looking for me. Oh, yes, he made that I could see. Oh, was near, rescued my soul, calmed all my fears. I'm safe from all harm since I met the one who came looking for me. Well, old Satan had already picked out my grave. His plans had moved forward, put me away. I had drifted so far, would anyone care? I'd soon be lost. Well, I knew my destruction was a matter of time. Then Jesus stepped in, said, Satan, this one is mine. Now I'm safe from all harm, 'cause he walked through my storm. He came looking for me. Oh, he came looking for me.
rescued my soul and he calmed all my fears. I'm safe from all harm since I met the one who came looking for me.
Praise the Lord. Aren't you thankful? We didn't deserve it, but he came looking for us anyhow. Amen. God bless you. Good to be in church tonight. Amen. Enjoyed this nice fall weather we had the last couple of days. I hope it stays that way for a while. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, tonight to Romans chapter 12. I want to continue to look at this thought of yield. And Romans chapter 12 and verse 4 and 5. I want to begin tonight with. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 and 5. Just want to say I hear a lot of pages turning out there, and I know that we have the scriptures up on the screen, but I think it's good to bring your Bibles and to have a Bible. I know a lot of times we do things digitally today, and that's okay. It's convenient. Sometimes you're out somewhere and don't have your Bible, and it's nice just to be able to pull up the Bible on your phone or whatever it is. But I believe everybody should have a physical Bible and familiarize yourself with it. So if somebody asks you where scripture is, you don't have to say, well, hang on, let me get my phone and try to figure out whatever. But know where Genesis is and where Revelations is and Galatians and Ephesians and different things. I think it's good. I appreciate these Sunday school teachers, how they teach the young people the books of the Bible and where they're at and sword drills and things like that. So I appreciate that. And it's not just about knowing the book, but we need to make sure we know the author as well. That's the main thing. But I believe if you love him, you'll love his book that he gave us as well. Amen. Romans chapter 12 and verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne again tonight, I just ask that you'd be with us, Lord. Be with the continuation of this service, Lord. I just ask, Lord, as the prayer requests came in late, I ask that you'd be with Brother Jim Jeffords, Lord, the cellulitis and fever and sickness in his body, Lord, from the infection in his leg. I just ask that you touch him and heal him, Lord. Take away the infection. May a testimony come forth of your healing power from it. Lord, for these young people that are going back to school, Lord, I just ask that you'd be with them, protect them in their schools and in all that they do and say, and just put a hedge around them, Lord, protect them from the ways of the enemy. Lord, use them to be a light in this dark age, I pray, Father. Be with us tonight, Lord, as we gather here together. Be with those that are sick in body or that are traveling and couldn't be. But, Lord, I just ask that, Lord, for those of us that are here, Lord, maybe some are tired and some are stressed and some are discouraged, Lord, from the busyness of the week. And, Lord, maybe they barely made it here tonight, Lord, because of different things going on. But they fought through and made it anyhow. And I ask that you'd bless them tonight and encourage them. Lord, may the things that said and done this service tonight, may it encourage their walk with you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, may they recognize that they have a part in this great body of Jesus Christ, Lord. And may we yield ourselves to that place that you would have for us in your great body. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated tonight. When God goes to do something, we find that the enemy is always there to try to discourage and hinder. It's not just, Brother Branham said he found that many times as well. St. Paul said that when he would go to do good, that evil was present there to hinder. And we find that in a church service. We find it in special meetings and camp meetings and different things. When God begins to go and do something, usually the enemy's there to try to hinder it as well. But I don't believe that's just in church, in our own lives and in our jobs, in our families, in our schools, whatever it would be. There's many times that Satan, when we go to try to do something for God, that's when Satan really begins to get upset. If you remember on the day of Pentecost, Brother Branham tells us many different times, he said when the day of Pentecost came and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, he said the devil didn't even get out of bed, is the way that Brother Branham puts it several times there. But he said then, a few days later, when they began to go down to the gate called Beautiful, and then there was a man that was sick in body, and the supernatural began to take place, then the devil really begin to get upset, and they begin to be thrown in prison and things like that. So the devil, he doesn't know all things like God does. So he's not able to look and see and discern, you know, just like we as mortals, as human beings. I don't have a spreadsheet of elect and non-elect. And so the devil's the same way. He doesn't really know exactly who the predestinated seed of God is, but yet he does recognize the pattern down through the ages of different spirits and different types of things that took place. So he watches people's lives and their natures, and he begins to push and prod and see what he can do. So when they came out of the upper room and claimed to be filled with the Holy Ghost, the devil didn't really mind that. You know, well, they say they got the Holy Ghost, but we'll see what it really is. But then when they begin to put faith in action and they begin to get results, supernatural results, then the devil began to be upset. And so when you go to do something in your life, whatever it would be, and you're trying to do something for God, watch out. The devil will be right there to upset you, to discourage you, to try to tell you, well, who do you think you are to try to do something for God? You're just a nobody. As I told a brother today, you know, I was talking about a quote that Brother Branham said when he said there are people come and say, well, oil in the hands and all these different things. And he said, but there'll be somebody there to say, but that's not scriptural, and to point back to the scriptures. And I said, even if it's just a nobody in New Albany, I hope that there'll be somebody that'll stand for the word and say, hey, these things aren't scriptural, and point us back to the word. But when you go to do those things, then the devil's there to sit and say, well, you know, they think they're this and they think they're that, or they did this or that. But don't let the devil discourage you tonight. Amen. If you're trying to do something for God, whatever it is, big or small, maybe for some of you young people, maybe there's somebody at your school that you recognize they're discouraged and they're depressed and they're going through a hard time, and maybe you've tried to encourage them and they've rejected you and said, hey, just leave me alone. Don't just give up, because God may be trying to do something through you to help that person that nobody else could maybe reach. And so many times, if we're not careful, we sit out with good intentions, and then the devil sweeps the rug out from under us, and we think, well, I tried, Lord, but I failed. Moses tried on his own too, and he failed, as we looked at recently. But when God began to work through him, all of the Egyptian army, all of Pharaoh and his servants and his power and his wealth and his army could not withstand what God was doing through Moses. So we find there's a big difference between us trying to do something and God trying to do something through us. So tonight, we want God to work through us. We don't want to do the work ourselves and try to be some type of self-righteous something that, well, look at me, I did this and I did that. But we want God to be able to work through us. We want to get ourselves out of the way. That's not just for the pastor, although the pastors should do that. That's not just for the deacons, although the deacons should do that. That's not just for the prophet, although I thank God that he did that. But it's for us as individuals in your Christian walk to yield to what God is trying to do in your life. Each one of you, God has a purpose and a plan for your life. As we looked at last week, Brother Bram said, each one of you, even to the housewife, has a ministry. So every one of you, whether you're 5 or whether you're 90 or however old you are, God has a reason and a purpose for you. If he didn't, then you wouldn't still be here. Because Brother Bram said that Satan cannot take you until God is done with you. So if God is done with you, you wouldn't be here blessing us with your presence tonight. So we believe that God still has something for you. He has something for you to do. He wants to work through you and in you and be a blessing to others through you. So we want to make sure that we're doing our part. Paul telling us here that as we have many members in one body, the body isn't just a blob. It's not just a lump of the same mass. When you go and you look at anatomy, you know, there's bone matter and there's tissue, there's flesh and skin and sinew and muscle and all kinds of different parts of the body that just make up the shell that we're in. But then there's individual parts. We have a nose and we have a tongue and we have fingers and toes and all this goes into making up the body. Now, thank God that he put my nose where he did and that he didn't try to put my nose in my mouth and my tongue where my nose is. But God laid us out just the way that we're supposed to be. He created the human body that way for a purpose. Everything that God did, when he stopped and he looked at his creation, he said, it's good. Now, when Satan began to come in and pervert it, that took the goodness away from what God was doing. Yet there would be people that would yield to God and bring things back into a balance. But when God looked back from all that he created, he stepped back and he said, it's good. So when we look at ourselves, you may feel like, well, I'm just the least and I'm a nobody, and what knows I got is crooked, and this is wrong with me and that's wrong with me. But the Bible says that you were fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. There's something about it. You know, I watched a testimony one time, just a nominal man. I don't know that he knows anything about God sending a prophet in this age or about the message of the hour, but it was so encouraging to me. There's a man that he gives a testimony, and he was born with no arms and no legs. And yet he tells the testimony that he was fearfully and wonderfully made. And my, the testimony will just get right down to you, and you think, my, if he can say that, what should we be able to say? Amen. If somebody in that condition can praise the Lord, that doesn't have an arm to raise and praise him, that doesn't have feet to take him and pack him where he could go and spread the gospel like we should, it ought to humble us and realize God has fearfully and wonderfully made us. Now, people look, and I know I got into this a little bit Sunday morning, and I don't know exactly why I'm going down the path I'm going. I didn't plan on any of this, but maybe it's for somebody tonight, so just bear with me a little while. We'll just keep digging until the Lord leads us another direction, but when you go to look and you see what God is doing, we have hands to praise him, and we have feet to take the gospel and to tell people about it. You know, it ought to make us feel little sometimes about what we actually do for him. Now, I don't believe that we can work our way in all of our testifying, all of our witnessing, all of our passing out tracts and all that. If it's just works, it'll never do us any good. But I do believe that if you love Jesus Christ, you will do something for him. Amen. Some of you sisters elbow your husbands and say, if you love me, you do something for me. Amen. Now you husbands elbow them right back and say, right back at you, honey. Amen. If you love one another, you do something for one another. You want to help somebody. You want to be a blessing to somebody. You want to make their load a little bit easier. In fact, Brother Bam tells us that's what the Christian walk is all about, is living for others. I know in this age that's not the focus at all, but that's because the God of this evil age isn't the one that wrote the Bible. The God of this evil age is Satan. He controls our nations. He controls our politics. He controls what's going on in the media and what's going on television and all the force that Hollywood would try to push down our throat to tell us what is normal and what is acceptable and what's politically correct. He's the God of all that. But yet our God told us that we're fearfully and wonderfully made and that we should serve one another. Not just look out for number one, although I want to look out for number one, but I recognize he's number one, not me. And so if we're not careful, we live a life that isn't living for others. But as I started to say earlier, if we're not careful when we begin to look at ourselves, I believe that we should look at ourselves through the mirror of God's word. Not through the mirror of somebody's personality or what they think or what they believe, or not through the mirror of somebody else's opinion about us. But when we go, I believe that we should reflect and we should look inwardly and say, Lord, what if there's anything wrong in me, I want you to make it right. But not through the lens of somebody else's opinion, not through the lens of somebody else's standard or somebody else's absolute or somebody else's what they feel is the right way to do something. But when we look and we try to see, God, if I'm doing something wrong, if I'm coming up short, where is it at? The best place for you to look is in the mirror of God's word and see how you line up with that. The problem is many of us, we look at religiosity or Christendom or message opinion or whatever it would be to compare our lives with. Well, Sister Susie does it this way, and brother over here, he says it this way, and this one says this is right, and that one says this is wrong, and we begin to compare ourselves with other people. Well, Sister so-and-so, she sits near the front and she seems to have a good spiritual life, and so, you know, if she does it, it must be okay. But I don't want to compare myself with somebody else's way of doing it or with somebody's opinion of what I should do, but I want to look into the mirror of the word and see how I line up. And then if there's something wrong, if something's not right, some of you sisters, if you was to go out to church or go out to eat with your husband, or go, some of you single ones, if you was to go out on a date with your boyfriend, or if you was to go out to the mall shopping with some of your friends or whatever it be, and you, as you was going out, your eye caught and you looked in the mirror as you was walking out of the house and you realized you had a big strand of hair, about, you know, 30 or 40 hairs just sticking straight out the side of your head, and looked like you walked through something and got all kinds of electric
electrical currency in it, and it's just sticking straight up. You'd want to stop and make sure, take another look in the mirror and make sure things were the way that they were supposed to be before you left. And it would behoove us when we go to do something that we would stop and take a look in the mirror of God's Word and say, is everything the way that it should be? Is everything in place in my life? Is everything in place in my family? Is everything in place with my walk with God? It would behoove us to look into the mirror of God's Word. Some of you young people, stop comparing your life with everybody else's and their designs for you and their plans for you and what's popular and what they think you should do and their opinion of you. But look into the mirror of God's Word and see how a young person should live and how a young person should act. And when it comes to choosing a mate, look into God's Word and see what type of mate that He would have you to choose. Brother Branham said, a real man of God will look for character. Amen. I don't think that we should, you know, completely throw attraction away. I believe it's okay to be attracted, but the attraction isn't the main thing. It's character. Character first is what you should look for. Why? Because eventually attraction and all that will fade. And if that was all that brought you together, then 10 years down the road, 20, 30 years down the road, whatever, some of that will begin to fade. But yet if there's character, real godly character, that you can fellowship around the Word and you can raise your children in the admonition of God, then you can have something in common that when the trials of life begin to come, which Brother Branham said they would, and then he said, you're disappointed in her and she's disappointed in you, he said, then you have to understand one another. He didn't say you have to be able to look in one another's eyes and say, oh, isn't his eyes so cute, or oh, isn't her hair so pretty. He said you have to understand one another. You know, a lot of marriage problems that take place is because people got married before they understood one another. Well, praise the Lord. Oh, man, you understood the nice version that went home to with mommy and daddy, and you didn't get to see all their bad character traits and what they looked like in the morning and how bad their breath smelled and all those type of things and you know, all the little quirks and things that they did that wound up driving you crazy. You didn't maybe know them quite well enough, but yet when you get to know somebody well enough, then when the troubles and the struggles of life begin to come, Brother Bram said, when you understand one another, then you can be there for one another. Then you can pray for one another. Then you can sympathize with one another. If you don't know your spouse that way, turn around and say, hello, my name is, and get to know them a little bit.
Amen.
Romans chapter 12, verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth, on teaching. Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. He's telling us that there's different gifts and there's different ministries, and that we should ministry according to the proportion of our ministry and of our gift. And Brother Branham said, even when it comes to getting blessed in the Spirit and things, he would tell us, you know, it's okay to shout. He believed in shouting, but he said, don't shout no higher than you live. You see some people, and you know, it was big in the Pentecostal movement, the Pentecostal denomination. They wanted to jump and they wanted to run, they wanted to dance, and all those things were wonderful. But if you go out of church and still live the same old life and just a halfway Christian, just a pretend Christian, that you come to church and you put on your Christian clothes and you put on your Christian demeanor and you carry your Christian Bible and you walk your way into church and sing the Christian songs and raise your make-believe Christian hands and go through the motions, that's no way to live. That's a miserable way to live. But I don't know about you. I don't want to be a halfway Christian. I don't want to be a halfway believer. I don't want to have one foot in the world and one foot in the Word. But I want to live a life that's worthy of the gospel. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all of the members of that body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Now, I don't know about you, There isn't, you know, there may be features that you could look at and say, poor Brother Nathan, his whatever feature, his ears are too big or his nose is too big or his eyes are too small or whatever you'd want to say. So there could be features of mine that you would look and compare to somebody else and say, well, his eyes aren't near as pretty as Brother So-and-so's eyes, or his ears aren't near as cute as Brother So-and-so's ears, or, you know, whatever it would be to compare my features with somebody else. But I tell you, no matter how much I like or dislike the features that God gave me, I wouldn't want to give up my nose or my ears or my seeing or my hearing or my fingers or my toes. I wouldn't want to give up those that he gave me, because he gave them for me for a purpose. Now, I don't know about you, but if you've ever, you know, walked into your kids' room late at night and stepped on a Lego or stubbed your toe against a wall or something like that, you begin to realize that some of those portions of your body that maybe you didn't appreciate as much as other portions of your body, that they're more important to you than you realized. That's how the body of Christ is. Sometimes, you know, it's easy for somebody to come to a church where God is moving and God's, you know, the worship service is going good and the people appreciate the preaching and the ministry and things like that. And it's easy for people to say, oh my, God has blessed us with a good song leader. God has blessed us with good deacons. Or God has blessed us with good trustees to take care of the buildings. Or my, God has blessed us with good Sunday school teachers. Look at how they're helping the young people. Look at this and look at that. God's blessed us with good musicians, and God's blessed us with a good pastor. And you see some of those things, you know, at the forefront a little bit more of a church. But, you know, there's others that come and, you know, oh my, here we go on Wednesday night, I guess. But there's some that they come and they actually get here 30 minutes early, like Brother Branham told us to. Now, I'm going to confess, confession's good for the soul. The pastor doesn't get here 30 minutes early a lot on Wednesday nights. But that's usually because I'm scrambling and trying to get together my last minute notes and slides and things so that we can have service on Wednesday night. Maybe that's not a good excuse, but it's just the truth. So I'll try to do better. You try to do better. All God's people will try to do better, okay? But I am usually here around 10 or 10:15 on a Sunday morning. And I know there's some of you, you know, the deacons could call your names better than I can, because I'm usually not up here till about everybody at least is in the church. But there's some of you that is consistently 15 minutes late, 20 minutes late, 30 minutes late, whatever it would be. The deacons can set their timer by you and know, oh, here comes Sister So-and-so, or here comes this family, or here comes that one. Now, we can chuckle and laugh, but it's not really something to be proud of, because God wants you to get here early, or Brother Branham wouldn't have dealt with it. You know, there's some things that people tell me, well, you should do this and you should do that, and I go back to the tapes and I can't find them, and so I don't teach those things as doctrine, or I go back to the Bible and I can't find them, so I don't teach those things as doctrine, or that we should do those things. But when I go back and I actually see that it's in the Word and there's a reason for it, then I think I should be able to preach it, whether it steps on your toes or my toes or anybody's toes. Let's just go ahead and preach all the Word, okay? Right. Amen. The reason that he's encouraging us to get there 30 minutes early is not so that we can, you know, fellowship in the basement or hang out in the bathroom or talk to one another for 30 minutes because we had that extra 30 minutes to get there early. But the reason he's encouraging us to get here 30 minutes early is so that we can enter into an atmosphere not only to receive, although that's a big part of it, but also to put into the service, because you have a part. Amen. Oh my. Well, I guess I'm getting most of us tonight, so if anybody gets out unscathed, you're doing pretty good tonight, I guess. But oh, but you know, he's encouraging us to get here and read our Bibles and pray, not so that we can be like the Pharisees and say, huh, look what I did. I've been, you know, 6 months in a row, I've been there 30 minutes early, and I see Sister So-and-so coming late. I know who he's talking about. I see Family B, and I see Family C, and I see Family A, and I see Family Z, and if you're just doing it so you can check it off of a list so that you think you're better than so-and-so, you're like the old Pharisee that was down there and looked at the publican and said, well, God, at least I'm not like so-and-so. So we don't come so that we can be better than so-and-so. We don't come to church for that purpose. We don't read our Bibles for that purpose. At least I hope you don't. We don't listen to tapes for that reason. We don't come to church and worship and sing God for those reasons, to say, well, at least I'm better than whoever it is you got in your mind tonight. But we do those things because we want to do what's pleasing to God. Amen. We want to do what's pleasing to him. So for the body to operate, you know, if I got up on, you know, whatever time in the morning, depending on what day it is, sometimes if I've preached the day before, I sleep in a little later. Other days I get up early, whatever. And, you know, my schedule's a little different than a lot of people because I guess I'm on call 24/7. So I might get a prayer call, you know, an emergency, something at 4 in the morning, or I might not get anything till 4 in the afternoon. You just never know what it's going to be. But my sleep schedule probably isn't like a lot of yours because my work schedule isn't quite as consistent as a lot of yours. But God, you know, for however I got on that, I don't know. But oh, about waking up, I guess. If I got to wake up, you know, some morning and my wife was in there cooking biscuits and gravy and my nose began to smell those biscuits and gravy and you know, my arm began to reach over and pick up my phone or my watch and see what time it is. And I think, oh my, that smells so good. I'm going to get out of bed. And all of a sudden my feet and my legs decide they'd like to sleep another 30 minutes. And I said, come on, boys, let's go. There's biscuits and gravy in the other room. Don't you know what this means to me? And my nose is agreeing, and my tongue is agreeing, and my hands are agreeing. We're trying to drag ourselves out of bed, but the legs and the feet say, no, we're tired still. We'd like another 30-minute sleep. And we're just not cooperating and working as a body. It would be miserable. My wife would look in here. I'd come like pulling myself down the wall, dragging myself down the hall. What are you doing, honey? Have you lost your mind? No, I just want that biscuits and gravy. But the legs and the feet decided they're not going to be a part of service this morning. Think about it. They were up too late last night, or you know, they really, you know, they've got a lot on their plate. They're stressed with work and they're stressed with school and they've got family problems. And, you know, and in fact, they when they pulled into the parking lot, them and their spouse were still bickering and the kids were still being loud and they had to yell at them. And now they feel convicted and think that maybe they shouldn't even be in church. Maybe they're going to hinder it for somebody else. And so the legs and the feet just aren't cooperating this morning. But when we can get the whole body working together, and I jump out of bed and I begin to walk down the hall and I say, oh my, here we go, boys, biscuits and gravy again. Then things can begin to happen. So just as our body has many members, so does the church have many members. Now, I don't feel like we got finished on that 30 minutes deal, so let's just go back to that a minute. The reason that we do that is to get there and be in an atmosphere. You know, if you come and you're running late from work, which I know there's some of you that can't help that, and I understand. I'll pray that God will bless you with a better work schedule. I know there's certain circumstances where sometimes you can't make it early for church, and then there's certain circumstances where you just procrastinated and put everything else ahead of church. And so, you know, we get consistently late if we're not careful. So when it comes time for church, if we get here and our mind is on the soccer game that we just took the kids to, or the basketball practice, and we was running late from that, and this, that, and the other, and we got our minds on that, and the coach made us mad because of what he said to our kid, or he didn't let him play as much time on the court as we thought he ought to, and we've got all this on our mind, or so-and-so at work said this, and bless God, you're going to get even with them, and so-and-so down at school, they did something he didn't like, and this teacher's giving you more work than you think is fair, and on and on and on. We come to church with all that, and we walk in, and Brother Furman's trying to sing his heart out up here and get you in an atmosphere of worship, and you come in, and I don't feel like worshiping. You're not pulling with the rest of the body. But when we get here, and we realize all those things in our life, but we make a mental choice that, hey, there is a lot going on in my life, and there's a lot of things going on that's bothering me, and there's a lot of things that tried to keep me from church, and there's a lot of things that disturbed me today, and maybe I don't have the right attitude, but you know what? I'm going to lay all that aside because God is more important than all of those things. Amen. And my worship for him is more important than any of those little details that are driving me crazy. So I'm just going to sit that over here in the pew beside me for a little bit. And I'm going to pick up my Bible and I'm going to begin to read the word of God. And I'm going to begin to pray and ask God to bless the musicians and bless the song leader and help them, use them to get us in an atmosphere of worship and for your presence to be welcome. And then I'm going to begin to pray for the pastor that you'll lead him and guide him to pick the right tape or to preach the right thing or to invite the right guest minister, and I'm going to begin to pray for him that you'll just use him and get him so out of the way that he could speak something so specific to my life that it would help me for the time and the place that I'm living, because I need encouragement and I need your help. And you begin to look into the scriptures and you think, oh my, that verse right there, that's exactly what I needed. And then the pastor or the evangelist or whoever it would, or the tape begins to come out, and that exact scripture that you turn to is there, and all of a sudden you're ready for service. And you're in gear and you're ready to pull with the rest of the body, and you think, oh my, we're having church now. Amen. Why? Because you did a little bit. You did your part to pull with the body. Maybe it wasn't a big part. Maybe everybody else who looked around said, well, I didn't see what they did. They didn't run. They didn't shout. They didn't preach. They didn't sing a special. But you did more impact on the church than maybe you realize. When we begin to pull together like that, things begin to happen. He says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now, this is what Brother Branham emphasized on many times. He didn't emphasize on whether you was Methodist or Baptist or Catholic or Presbyterian or whatever you was. He emphasized on by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. You know, you never find Brother Branham on tape begging and persuading and pleading, oh, please, just get away from the Catholic Church and then you'll be okay. Oh, please, just get away from those old stubborn Methodists and then you'll be okay. Oh, please, just get away from that wildfire, the Pentecostals, and then you'll be okay. But what did he encourage him to do? Get in one Spirit. Be baptized by a new birth into one body. And he didn't feel like he had to proselyte and beat people over the head and beg them to come out of their denominations and do this and do that. Because I believe he knew if they really got the real Spirit of God, their denominations would kick them out. They wouldn't have to leave. Because they'd get so sick of hearing what God was doing for them and how God was manifesting himself through their lives that they couldn't stick around much more. They would sit and hear things and the real Spirit of God in their life would begin to be grieved and begin to say, wait a minute, there's something not right about what's being taught. And they just have to separate themselves from it eventually. So the emphasis was not on a geographic location or a certain denomination or a certain group or a certain church, but by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. I want to say tonight, my goal is not to see how many members that we can get in Church of the Open Door, but my goal is to see how many members that we can get into the body of Jesus Christ, because one day that last member is going to come in, and I don't care what church they're going to, I don't care what state or city or country that they're living in, I don't care if they sit under a pastor that I don't agree with or if they believe something slightly different than I do, I am waiting, you are waiting, the entire earth is growing for the manifestations of the sons of God, because one day that last one will come in and we can get out of here. Amen. So I'm not interested in build. You know, I know if we keep growing like we are, we may have to get a different church or build a different church or whatever. But I'll be honest with you. I don't say it to be humble. I'm not looking to build a bigger church. I'm not looking to bring in 100 more members. You know, I'd be happy if the Lord just said, hey, this is it. You just keep these that you got and we'll just cut it off there. As a pastor, I can honestly say I'd be happy. I'd be fine with that. But if he wants to add 5 or 50 or 100 more, whatever he wants to add is fine with me, or however many he feels to take away, that's fine with me. My goal is not to add members to this church as far as Church of the Open Door, but my goal is to see members added to the church, to the body of Christ. Amen. That's why I've never begged or persuaded, or, you know, when people leave, I'm hesitant. I'll reach out to them and check them. Everything okay? You know, hope we didn't offend you, whatever. But I don't try to follow after people and beg them and persuade them to come back, because I feel like if God's leading them away, then they'll be better off and we'll be better off. And if God let them here, then they'll be better off and we'll be better off. And we'll be blessed and they'll be blessed. But if we drag somebody here just because you like this church and you think it's better than somebody else's church, and you've begged and persuaded your friends or your family to visit, and you try to drag them and beg them and plead them, and oh, don't you would just love it here, and you just love our pastor, and you just love the way we do this, and we love the way if you're not careful and you proselyte somebody that's not supposed to be here, it's going to cause you troubles, it's going to cause me troubles, and it's going to cause them troubles. So amen. Let the Lord do the work. Amen. Amen. He does the work so well. Amen. Amen. And every time we try to do it, we mess it up. Amen. I'm not telling you not to witness. I'm telling you don't have to beg them and plead them to come here. If God leads them here, they are welcome. Anybody that wants to come, as far as I know, with the exception of a couple people that we know, not even here local, but just people that want to come and stir up troubles at churches and interrupt services and things, we're not going to allow that to happen. But anybody that wants to come and behave themselves and sit and hear the preaching of the word or listen to the tape or listen to the song service, if they'll come and behave themselves, they are welcome. That's why we call it Church of the Open Door. But if they don't want to behave themselves, then we can let them know that they're not welcome. Because we're not going to let the devil come in and try to take control. But we do want to be a blessing to anybody that we can. I was telling a brother today, Brother Danny Steeman from Florida, you know, talking about pressures and things. And he began to tell me, you know, yes, persecutions are hard and things. I said, well, that's true. Persecutions are hard. But that's not really the pressures that I'm feeling these last few weeks. I've had some people, different families, some of you sitting right here tonight and some that are, not here tonight. But that's all right. But it's different ones that have approached me or said different things, or even a sister from another state that wrote us a letter a couple days ago and just saying how much that they've been blessed by the church here and how their lives have been changed and how their families have been changed. And what a testimony, Brother Arnie. I appreciate those things. But on this side of it too, and I'm not telling you that, you keep telling me if your life has been changed and what God's doing for your family. That's wonderful and it's encouraging. But on the other side, Brother Sam, it puts a weight on you to realize just how important what God is doing is and how we want to do our part the best that we can. It puts a pressure and a responsibility on you. So we're not interested in just numbers and pews and sizes of buildings, but we're interested in the body of Jesus Christ. I love how Brother Branham tells the story of when he was out there herding cattle, and he said the ranger wouldn't look and see the brand. Was it this ranch over here or that ranch over there or what group it was from? But he said the ranger would look at the blood tag. And so I believe as believers, we need to stop looking so much at, who's their pastor and how do they lean on this certain doctrine and have they got it all figured out the way that they do and do they support the things that we support, and look more at, have they been baptized into one body? And I'm not just talking about water baptism, although we certainly believe in that. That's the first step of it there. But we also believe that you should be baptized into a body. You're not baptized into a body by water, but by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we're Jews or Greeks, whether we're bond or free, whether we're Methodist or Baptist or whatever doctrine of the message or church name or state or city or affiliation you want to come up with, if you're baptized into one body, all those other things don't matter so much. But if you're not baptized into a body, then all those things, all your representation, if you're represented at what you think is the right church, or you're represented behind what you feel is the right doctrine, or you're represented behind a certain move in the message that you think that you should be behind, that's one. But if you haven't been baptized into one body by one Spirit, then it's all really for nothing. Amen. And if we're not careful, we just make a bunch of Pharisees out of people. But, oh my, verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were the hearing, or if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. He says, nay, but much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary.
Amen.
Oh my, why don't you look to somebody to the left or to the right or both and say, you're necessary.
Amen.
Amen. You're necessary tonight. Now, some of you spouses that came in mad tonight, you recognize that spouse beside you, whether on the left or the right or whatever it is, they're necessary. Amen. You're necessary. Each one of you sitting here tonight, you're necessary if you're a part of the bride of Jesus Christ. God, Brother Bram said, God will not have a freak body. He won't, and I know that's probably not politically correct, but that's the words that he used. So you can go back and search freak body and see that that's what he said. He said, God will not have a freak body. He's not going to have 8 fingers on one hand, nor is he going to have 2 fingers on one hand. But those that are supposed to be part of the body, he won't lose a one of them. Everyone will be there without spot or wrinkle. He may have to drag you along. He may have to coax you along. He may have to send somebody to preach it to you and scream it to you and teach it to you and talk it to you and whatever he's got to do. But if you're a predestinated seed of God, you will be there. As I've said, we can come the easy way or we can come the hard way, but if you're one of his, he'll have you there. So I don't know about you. I would rather, Brother Bam says it this way. He said, the wheels are turning just right. He said, now if we can just get in the turn. Amen. That's what I want to do. I want to get in the turn of the move of God in this age, that I want to move and do my part. I don't want to try to, Brother Buckles, I couldn't take his part for anything, nor could he take my part. But if he'll do his part, and I'll do my part, and Brother Layton will do his part, and you read your name in tonight. I don't have time to call everybody's name. But if we'll each do our part, then the body of Christ will begin to move forward, not just at this church, but at people at other local churches and at churches around the world, of the members of the Bride of Jesus Christ, if they would just do their part and stop worrying. If we stop worrying, well, Brother so-and-so does it this way down the road, and I don't agree with him, and Brother so-and-so in this state, he said this, and I don't agree with that. Hey, we should stand for the word, and we should stand for what we believe. But if we get so caught up with trying to correct everybody else that we can't do our part, oh, how are we failing miserably? I want to focus, what is God calling me to do? What would God have me to do? What is my part that he wants me to play? Where I want to be in the right step and in the right thing is, when Brother Ron Spencer was here at the storefront years ago and he preached on the symphony and how that each instrument has a part and a time. And if you get up there, and I can't read sheet music for anything. I play by ear, but I know what a flat and a sharp is, and that's about all that I know on music. You know, somebody will hand me a sheet of music and I'll say, that's nice, and I'll just go ahead and play it by ear, whatever it is, or try to anyhow. But for those that really know music, they, you know, I can pick up a song. You know, if somebody comes up here and begins to sing something, I can probably pick it out and play it, and I might get the right keys and the right notes and all that. But for somebody that can sit there and read the sheet music, they're not just playing something that can accompany that or that sounds okay with it or might complement it or might sound okay or might not. But if they have the sheet music, then they know exactly what the original composer of that song intended for the song to be. They know when to come in and when to come out and when to play loud and when to play soft and when to play fast and when to play slow, and they know exactly the note and the timing and all of that because they can read it exactly the way that the original composer had it. I wonder many times in the message if we aren't just playing it by ear and, well, I think this would be best and I believe this and, well, I think this would be better off here and I don't think we need this brother over here and I don't think we need that ministry over there, but I think this would be better, and I think we should promote this, and I think, but if we'll go back and see the way that the original composer wrote it, then everything will begin to go exactly in step the way that it should. Amen. Now, I don't mean look over at somebody else's sheet music and say, hey, you're not playing the tuba the way that you should. Don't you see what it says there? Pay attention to your part and your timing, and when you come in and when you come out, because if you don't, and you're looking over here, Brother Arnie, you missed a note there, and you missed your timing, and you missed your entrance, you're so focused on him that you'll miss your part. Well, glory. And somebody may just have the part like the little man that Brother Ron talked about, that he said he came and he got dressed in his tuxedo and his bow tie and he got in the car and he got a taxi. He comes all the way downtown New York there and he walks into this great the cathedral and he begins to go and he's going to play in this great orchestra and he gets there late and he walks in, he sits down, he takes out his little stick and his little triangle and he looks at his sheet music and he realizes it's the right time and ding, ding, and he hits it a couple times and he puts it back in the box and he closes it back up and puts it under his arm and he gets back in the taxi and goes back home. Now, he didn't have as big a part as the conductor. He didn't have as big a part as maybe the string section or the piano or whatever it would be. He didn't have as big a part to play, but as long as he played his part well and as long as he played his part in the time and the place that he was supposed to, he had just as much of a part and an importance to it as anybody else there. Now, You know, some of us, we might have came, and if the guy decided not to show up that day and we didn't know much about the piece that was being played, we might say, well, that was wonderful. It was perfect. But the real lovers of that orchestra, the real lovers of that sheet music, the real lovers of that symphony would sit there and say, where was the triangle, Brother Ben? Right, at that pause, at that great crescendo, right when he was supposed to strike it, there was something missing there. There was something missing there. And I realize, you know, it's summer and people go on vacations, and I don't begrudge you that. As long as you don't begrudge me, if when I get an opportunity to go on vacation, I won't begrudge you of yours. And I realize people get sick, and I realize there's times that people have to work overtime. But I also realize that there's a lot of times that we just lay out of church because, well, we don't really have an excuse, but we're too tired, or we were too busy, or we're too stressed, or whatever it would be. And so we just lay out of church. And it's times like that that I wonder if the Holy Spirit begins to crescendo and do something in the service, and there's a missing piece there that could have been there and could have played a part and could have pulled a little harder on the preacher, and maybe somebody else would have got blessed, or could have raised their hands, or went down to the altar under conviction and started a whole altar call, or could have came up for prayer because everybody else was too embarrassed to be the first one and could have started a whole prayer line. Or, you know, sometimes God's wanting to use us, but we're just too busy to yield and take time out for Him. Mary's belief, 1960. He works through you and I as portions of God. I don't know if you realized it when you came to church tonight, but you are a portion of God. When you got in the car and you came to church, if you've been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you are a portion of God. Brother Branham says it this way in Thirsting for Life in Phoenix, Arizona. He said, can you just imagine? He said, it'd break your heart to think of Jehovah dividing himself on the day of Pentecost, and a piece, a lick of fire over here and a lick of fire over there. God dividing himself and placing himself in human beings. He said, and then we get so stubborn and things that we want to separate from other believers. He said, when it's a portion of God... So he works through you and I as portions of God. That's why the Holy Spirit, when it came on the day of Pentecost, it broke up all that pillar of fire and divided itself in licks of tongues and set upon each one. We have to have one another. Let me read it again. We have to have one another. Amen. We need one another. Brother Bram said, in this age, more than we ever did. He said, used to. He said, when I was a Baptist, he said, I thought if you wasn't a Baptist, you was just out. But he said, as time began to go on, he began to get a little older. He realized that the blanket stretched a little further to cover his other brothers that weren't Baptists. He said, now, as time has gone on even further, I realize that we just need one another. We have to have one another. So I know there's a lot of people that they want to isolate themselves, and everybody's wrong but them, and are for and no more. But Brother Branham tells us in Thirsting for Life again, he tells us that it's that one that separates itself from the herd, that little lamb or that little deer or whatever it would be that separates itself from the rest of the herd. That's the one that the wolf immediately goes after, because there's no protection around it. There's nobody else to help it and encouragement, courage it, and try to ward off the ways of the enemy and things like that. So he goes off after those little ones that say, well, bless God, I'm the only one that's right. Nobody teaches it like this but me, and everybody else is wrong, and it's just me, myself, and I, or my four no more. But a prophet of God would come and say, we have to have one another. He said the biggest thing the devil ever got on us was when he separated us from the love of God from one another. And we love one another. That's brotherly love. When we can get to one another, if you've got part of the Holy Ghost, and I've got part of the Holy Ghost, and the next man's got part of it, put us together. There's three parts. I'm three times as strong as I was with you two brothers. See, that's the way we stand. Amen. That's why one of the things that I love about coming to church is it's not just me fighting the devil by myself anymore, Brother Jeremy, but you're here, and Brother Hoover's here, and Brother Joel, and Brother Sam, Brother Isaac, Brother Ben, Brother Caleb, and all of us come together, and suddenly it's not just me out there in Laodicea fighting the devil alone with my little one lick of fire, but then it's a many-membered body that comes together to worship together, to pull together, to not to glorify ourselves, but to glorify God and to glorify His Word that He's brought us. And when you come in that type of a condition and that type of an atmosphere, and I come in that type of condition and atmosphere, and we're not ready to fight our brother down the road or our brother in another state or in another country, and we're not ready to fight one another, but we come here ready to fight the devil together, and we roll up our sleeves and we get in there, and if people think we're crazy, that's okay. We're just having a good time in the Lord together. Amen. Amen. He says, then if you've got a little lick of fire, and I've got a little lick of fire, and he's got a little lick of fire, put us together. And he said, I'm three times as strong as I was with you two brothers. See, that's the way we stand. He said, I'm a real Kentuckian. Together we stand, and divided we fall. That's right. We must stand that way together. But today, well, brother so-and-so sees this one doctrine a little different than I do, so I'm just going to draw a circle and draw him out. Brother Branham said when they tried to do that to him, he said, that's okay. I'll just draw a bigger circle and draw you right back in. Right. Amen. That was the attitude that he had. Oh, my. You know, brother, I hope he don't mind me calling his name or saying it, but Brother Jonathan Sanger, when we were at BYC, he really encouraged me with his attitude about different things and how that he, you know, he's able to do that very effectively, to draw the circle bigger. And I've tried my whole life to draw the circle bigger, and I find that there's some people that just won't let you draw it. Every time you try to draw it bigger, they get out their big magic eraser and begin to erase it right behind you just as fast as you can draw. But I'm trying my best to draw the circle bigger. I want to draw the circle bigger. I don't want to unchristianize anybody and say, well, they're lost and they're out, because I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I do know who holds tomorrow. Amen. So many times we're so quick to write people out and say, well, they're wrong and I'm right, so they're just lost, or they're just a serpent seed, or they're just that. Well, hey, you know, tomorrow may have a lot in store. Maybe the Lord will show you, hey, wait a minute, you were wrong on something over here, and I'm going to bring you a little further and show you a little bit more light, and you might realize, hey, that brother was closer than I thought. Or God may get a hold of him, and he may realize the same thing, and you realize, oh my, we was brothers all along. Why was I treating him like this and him treating me like that? So I want to keep trying, even if they keep the eraser right behind me, I'm going to keep trying to draw that circle bigger. Amen. Amen. And what he encouraged me, Brother Jonathan did, he said, I try, and you know, this isn't algebra, it's not rocket science, it's not anything like that, it's things that I've said before too, but it was just something that I needed to be reminded of, Brother Furman. He said, I try to think when I go to do something, how would Brother Branham or how would the Lord Jesus handle it? Now, I've said that, my dad's told it to me for years, and you know, it's something that I know and something that I do try to do, but it was just something, sometimes you need to hear it from somebody else just to remind you, and then see it put in action a little bit, and you think, you know what, that's right. Maybe there's been some things that maybe I haven't handled just exactly right. Anybody but me ever feel that way? Maybe there's some times when I should have just kept my mouth shut instead of opening it so wide that that things came out that I regretted saying and had to come back around to apologize to somebody. Sometimes it's your spouse. Man. I'll really get in trouble tonight, but there's, you know, Glenn Campbell has a song that I just stumbled across recently. I was actually, he sings some gospel songs that I was listening to on Spotify, and one of the albums that he sang popped up beside it, and there was a song that said those words, and I thought, well, I'll click on that and see what it was. And in the song, I don't think you could really call it a gospel song, but you know, for some of us husbands, I believe we could apply it as the gospel. He says, those words, I never should have said those words. And I never should have told my wife about that song, Brother Isaac, because now she just reminds me of that song every once in a while. Play that song again. Sometimes, I don't know about you, sometimes my mouth works faster than my brain has time to process it. And I know I do it when I'm, I hope Sister Jennifer's not amening that just towards me, but I think she's identifying herself with that. With that statement, not just throwing me under the bus tonight. But, you know, sometimes even when I'm preaching, I'll do that. My mouth will get ahead of my brain. I'll have to slow down because I'll start getting tongue-tied. And then sometimes at home, my mouth will get ahead of my brain, and I don't stop and think, you know, now how's that going to sound when it comes out of my mouth? So I have to ask forgiveness a lot. But I know I'm the only one here that's like that tonight, so you just pray for me. And I'll just keep thanking God for blessing me with such a wonderful group of angels that can adjust their halos when I talk about things like this. Questions and Answers, 1959. And then when God's people begins to gather back together, there's unity, there's power, see? And whenever God's people gets together completely, I believe the resurrection will take place then. There'll be a rapturing time. So for these brothers that teach that we're already physically, you know, raptured and resurrected, I have bad news for them, but we're not all together completely like Brother Branham's talking about here. Amen. He said, when it comes together like that, it'll be, I believe the resurrection will take place then. It'll be rapturing time. Again, convinced, then concerned, 1962. Then the church will really go to growing because you'll go out and get everybody you can to bring them in. But as long as you go around and say, well, that's the preacher's job. He said, it isn't the preacher's job. It's everybody's job. Maybe we should just say that sentence together. It's everybody's job. He said, right. Every born-again Christian has the same spirit in them. Preacher might be gifted, but that's just a gift of the Holy Ghost. Not the Holy Ghost, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Preachers are called prophets and teachers and evangelists and pastors and so forth. They receive the Holy Ghost and then a gift to do these things with it. But God don't have any little bitty children or great big children. They're all children to Him. That's exactly right. And your rightly position is setting right now in heavenly places in Christ Jesus with every power. You say, Brother Branham, I'm the least in the church. I'm just a little bitty fellow. But remember, when He ascended on high, see, you're raised with Him. You're in the body and you're with Christ right now, seated in heavenly places. If you're the skin on the bottom of the feet, every devil is underneath you. Amen. Oh my, I hope we go out of church feeling better than we did when we came in. Maybe you don't feel like you're nothing. Maybe you don't have a position. Maybe you don't have a title. Maybe your name's not in lights and everybody in the message don't know who you are. But you know what? If you're the skin on the bottom of the feet of the bride of Jesus Christ, every devil is underneath you. He said, that's right, exactly right. The church, where the head is, the body is with it. And if we be buried, died, buried in Christ, then we're raised with Him in His resurrection and set in heavenly places in Christ Jesus with every fire of hell under us. Amen, right? He said, no matter how little you are, every devil is under you. Why? Our great conqueror has conquered every sin, everything, every sickness, every even death itself. That's right. We are more than conquerors in Him. Amen. Amen. Not because I did it, not because you did it, but because He's already conquered over death, hell, and the grave. And every demon in hell is underneath you. Amen. If you're a part of the body. Amen. Amen. Now, like Brother Arnie said, that don't mean we roll up our sleeves and go and pick a fight with him and say, hey, devil, hey. Slap him around a little bit and wake him up. Oh, he's awake enough. I like to let him sleep when he's sleeping. But it means when he comes after you, you have a right to stand there and say, hey, I don't have to accept your box of rattlesnakes. I don't have to accept your pack of lies. Oh, the doctor may have said this, and this one may have said that, and this may be going on in my life, but greater is He that is within me. Amen. I have a redeemer. I have one that has already conquered you. You know, as I've said before, well, you know, if I was to fight whoever the heavyweight champion of the world is right now, you probably wouldn't give me much hope of being able to beat him. But, you know, you might put some money if he was a betting person on me getting killed in the ring, but I don't think you'd bet on me beating him. But if you heard that last night that man, whoever he was, the heavyweight champion of the world, was in a car accident and he was laying over in a coma and they were going to pull him out in his hospital bed and I was going to stand over in one corner and he's going to lay there and all I had to do was just go over and unplug the thing and boop. You probably would have a lot of confidence in me that I could overcome and that I could beat him. So that's how I feel tonight. We're being bombarded by a defeated foe. He's already lost the battle. He's just like that turtle that Brother Branham talked about that he said him and his little brother was playing down there by the river. And he said there was a little snapping turtle and he chopped its head off. And his little brother said, is he dead? And he said, well, I separated his head from his body, so I guess so. And he said he reached over and he stuck a little stick down the thing, grabbed a hold of it and snapped at it. And he said, well, he said, if he's dead, he don't know it yet. That's like the devil. He realizes his time is short, but he's just running to and fro trying to do everything that he can. But he's a defeated foe.
Amen.
Amen. I know I'm running out of time, but let me read you a couple more quotes before we close here tonight. I'll skip that one and read it another time. Let me get to this one here. Who is this?
1950. Well, hold Brother Arnie on us. Brother Arnie did that.
Brother Arnie did that a few times ago when he was preaching. He ran out of battery. And I handed him a second one. I said, that's okay. Just don't run out a second one. Who is this 1959? He says, when you people like you are here, you don't realize the opportunity you got right now. I'm sure you don't. If you only knowed, every one of them 9 spiritual gifts could be placed right into the church at this minute,
right,
why things would take place. There'd be another Pentecost. The condition that we set in when we come into church, we'll look at this. I don't know if I'll get to it next week, but in the coming weeks, we'll look at what he taught us about these 9 spiritual gifts and how he said over and over and over again that they should be in the church. Now, I know when we think 9 spiritual gifts, usually we just think of tongues and interpretation and prophecy, and that's 3 of them, but there's 6 more of the 9 spiritual gifts that's supposed to be in the church. Wisdom and knowledge and all these different gifts, healings and miracles and things like that that are part of the 9 spiritual gifts that are supposed to be in the body. And Brother Bam tells us many times, he said it might operate on one in one service, and there are gifted people that they have those gifts in operation. It might come to them over and over. But he said there's other people, they might stand up and prophesy in one service and it may never go on to them again. He said there's a difference in a prophet and a gift of prophecy. It might go from one to another. He said another person, they may lay their hand over on somebody that's deathly sick and pray for them, and that healing gift come forth from them, and that person be healed and may never do it again in their life. But he said those 9 spiritual gifts should be in every local assembly. He says it over and over and over again. So he says if you only know it, every one of them 9 spiritual gifts could be placed right into the church at this minute, why things would take place, there'd be another Pentecost. But many times we get scared. Well, I'd like to see the pastor do this first, or I'd like to see this one do it first, or maybe God's leading you to do something first. Maybe God's leading you to call up somebody and encourage them. Maybe God's leading you to go over and lay your hands on somebody and pray for them. Maybe you think, well, they'd think I was crazy. Who am I? I'm not anybody. Hey, that's the way I feel tonight, to stand before a group of people that loves the Lord and follows this message and has been serving the Lord for years and years and years, to sit here and listen to me. I think, Lord, who am I? I'm a nobody. Who am I to stand here and minister before a group of people? But then when I see God coming and blessing people and helping families and encouraging, I say, thank you, Lord, for using a nobody in New Albany. Thank you, Lord, that she would be that humble and that simple to come and work through somebody that, I'm not famous. I don't want to be famous. I just want him to use me as he could use me to be a help to somebody. But don't let it stop right here at this pulpit. Don't let it stop when it comes off of this step and say, well, the pastor's doing a good job and the song leader's doing a good job and this one and that one. You do your part. Remember Brother Bannon said in that service, he said there was a woman sitting up in the balcony and a little lady with a baby to be prayed for, and the woman had a prayer card, and the devil began to beat this lady up and said, well, she's got a prayer card. No doubt Brother Bannon will pray for her. You don't need to pray for her. But she had a burden on her heart from the Holy Spirit to pray for the woman's baby. And she said, well, I'll just get up and give her my seat. Maybe that'll relieve that burden for me. And he said, oh my. So she got up and gave the lady her seat and said the burden just wouldn't leave. And so finally she said, ma'am, I know you got a prayer card, and I hope Brother Bannon calls it tonight, but she said, would you mind if I prayed for the baby just to kind of relieve this burden that's on my heart? The Holy Spirit keeps impressing it on me. And she said, oh, absolutely, go ahead. And when the lady got down to the prayer line, Brother Bam said, your baby was healed up there in the balcony when a sister prayed for it up there. He said, now what if she hadn't listened to what the Holy Spirit was telling her to do? He said, it might have been a rebuke. Go forth. Remember what Mary said there to him in Cana of Galilee at the wedding? Said, whatever he says to you, do it. So if he's leading you to do something, I would do it with all my heart, whether you understand it or not, whether people are going to think you're crazy or not, whether you feel unworthy or not, or whether you feel inadequate. If he leads you to do something, I would encourage you tonight, whatever he says, do it. Brother Bram says on one tape there, he said, little Rebecca, Sister Rebecca, his daughter, was there in the service. He said she stayed up all that night crying, said, oh, Daddy. She said there was an old mother laying back there, and she said when you told the people to raise their hands for healing, she said she raised her hands, but she was laying on a cot back there, and you couldn't see her. And he said it just bothered her so bad. He said, oh, honey, God saw it anyhow. And he said the next night in the prayer line there, he said it just so happened that she got a card and got in the prayer line and was healed and everything. He said, what was it? He says the prayers of that little girl, that she entered into the suffering of that mother. So whether you're 5 or whether you're 50 or whether you're 90, you can do something if you're part of the body tonight. Amen. If you're not part of the body tonight, I'd encourage you. Jesus said you must be born again. Amen. How do you become a part of this body? It's not by coming to 1221 Silver Street. That's not how you become part of the body. It's not by trying to go through any emotional workup or any certain thing that we, physical manifestation that we can do. It's by one Spirit that we're all baptized into one body. And then once you're in that body, God doesn't call you to that body just so you can sit on the sidelines and watch everybody else pull, but he calls you for a purpose and a reason. He has something for you to do.
Amen.
Amen. As I said earlier, Brother Branham, quoting him, he said, the wheels are turning just right. Let's just get in the turn. Amen. God bless you. If the musicians would come tonight, let's just bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I believe the Holy Spirit, through the preaching of the Word, through the Scriptures and the quotes tonight, Lord, that you've challenged us to do our part, Lord, to come up a little higher from where we've been living, Lord, and the way that we've been acting, the way that we've been going about our life as believers, Lord, that there's something more for us to do. Lord, maybe we don't have a big part to play in the whole scheme of things, Lord, but Lord, as your prophet said, if we're just the skin on the bottom of the feet, Lord, whatever it would be, we want to do our part well, Lord. Lord, we want to do what you would have us to do. Say what you would have us to say. Lead us and guide us, Lord. Lead us to be a witness to that person on the street that we come in contact with, Lord. Maybe when we look at them, we think, well, they're not dressed the way I think they should, or they don't look a certain way, Lord, but maybe you're wanting to use us to be a light and a witness and encouragement to that person. Lord, maybe it's that person that treats us bad on our job. Or maybe it's that person from our childhood or that person from our family, Lord, that we've just always seemed like had a rough edge there and have butted heads with. Lord, maybe the devil's put all that there for a reason, to try to keep back something that you would have for that person. Lord, help us to be humble enough, Lord, to yield ourselves to you for what you would have us to say or to do. Help us to do our part. Help us to seek you, Lord. Lord, help us to pray for one another. Lord, help us. Lord, you told us to pray for those that despitefully use us. Lord, help us not just to pray for our best friends or just to pray for the pastor, Lord, but help us to pray for those that maybe we don't understand why they said certain things or did certain things. But Lord, give us a desire in our heart to pray for them. Lord, give us the desire to, Lord, continue to look in the mirror of your word and see, Lord, is my life really matching up with what the word says? If not, Lord, take us back to the potter's house and remold us and remake us. Lord, may it never be just a going through the motions or just some form of legalism, but Lord, give us that very life of Christ in us, Lord, to where it would produce the love of Christ. Lord, how we treat one another and how we treat others that we come in contact with. Help us, Lord, to do our part. Lord, maybe there's somebody in the church, Lord, that's been sick or maybe is elderly. Maybe they don't have a lot of visitors. Lord, lay it on people's hearts to go by and visit them or encourage them or take them out to eat after church or to make sure they have somebody to fellowship. Maybe it's some single mother, Lord, or maybe it's somebody that we know that doesn't get a whole lot of fellowship, Lord. Maybe their personality is just a little bit different than ours and we've just never felt that connection with them, Lord. But may we humble ourselves and say, you know, I'm going to reach out to them anyhow. I see them standing over there in the parking lot by themselves without fellowship. I'm going to make a point to go and try to encourage them and see how their life is going and see where they're at, see if they need help with something, see if they need me to pray with them about something. Oh, Lord, you love us so much and you extend your love to us. Help us to extend our love that way. Lord, maybe it's that young person that, Lord, maybe they're just a little different, Lord, or maybe they dress a little different than us, or maybe they run with a little different group than us, Lord, but there's so many pressures and so many things in this age, Lord, of people getting beat down and just tormented in their mind, Lord, where the prophet said the greatest battle ever fought was. Lord, help us to take time for somebody else, to encourage them and make sure they're doing okay. Shake their hand and tell them, I'm praying for you. I've had you on my heart. I'm thinking about you. Help us, Lord. It may not be something superficial or just words, but Lord, may we mean it from our heart, Lord. Give us a burden for lost souls. Give us a burden, Lord, for our loved ones that are running from the Lord. Give us a burden, Lord, for those that, Lord, maybe they're sincere, but sincerely wrong. Lord, help us not just to want to prove them wrong or be righter than them, Lord, but give us a real desire, Lord, a real prayer, a prayerful heart, Lord, that, Lord, we want to see them come closer into contact with the living reality of a living God. Give us the right motives, the right desires. Get our focus back on you, Lord. Lord, may you be first in our home, in our lives, in our decisions, in all that we do, Father. Help us to put you first. We love you, Jesus. Thank you. Help us tonight, Father. Be with each one. In Jesus Christ's name. And not faint. Oh, teach me, Lord. Just teach me, Lord. Oh, teach me, Lord, to wait. My heart's all aflame. Oh, help me humble all my pride and call on your name. Oh, keep my faith renewed and keep my this way tonight. Oh, teach me, Lord, to wait down on my knees, not in my time, Lord, till in your own good time you'll come and answer my pleas. Oh, teach me not to stand and sing it. Oh, they that wait upon the Lord, their strength, oh, they shall mount up with wings as an
God, my Lord, goes ahead, leads whatever betides. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to see forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, oh, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. And in valleys low I look toward the mountain high, and behold my Savior there, leading in the fight. With a tender hand outstretched toward the valley low, He's guiding me, I can see as I onward go. And oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to see forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, Lord, let me lift my voice. There's all past, home at last, never to rejoice. When before me billows rise from the mighty deep, then my Lord directs my heart, He does safely keep. And He leads me gently on through this world below. Yes, He's a real friend to me. Oh, I love Him so. Oh, I want to see Him and look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, oh, let me lift my voice. There's all past, home at last, never to rejoice. When before me billows rise from the mighty deep, then my Lord directs my bark, He does safely keep. And He leads me gently on through this world below. Oh, He's a real friend to me. Oh, I love Him so. And oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to see forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, Lord, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, all my last, never to return. He's saints, let's sing it as you're dismissed. Oh yes, I know it was the blood, I know it was the blood.